Good morning, fellow believers. Did you know that every one of us, when we are born again, receive a power on the inside that supplies every need we will ever have for the rest of our lives? Did you know that not one born again believer was born to be a chicken? You were born to be eagles. You were born to soar in life. You were born to overcome all the obstacles that trip up everybody else down here on earth. And today, my brothers and sisters, it's time to fly. Take your Bibles, please, and go to Luke 13, Luke chapter 13. Recently, I had some health issues that could have turned out very badly, but they didn't, because I'm an eagle. I'm not a chicken. I know how to press into God when times are rough, and that's exactly what happened. Because the doctor's report, not a good report, they found an aggressive cancer near my spine, and after the shock and awe of the doctor's words rolled through me, I grabbed a hold of my mind and I thought, wait, time out. I belong to God. And the Spirit of the living God lives in my physical body. Therefore, the first report is not the last report. So I said, Pego, stand up, suit up, look up. It is armor time. Da-na-na-na. Time to put on the whole armor and keep it on more diligently than normal. And to get my heart right with God and see myself prevailing before all of this stuff even happened, and by God's grace and mercy, we did prevail, and I'm cancer-free. But in the doctor's office, when those words came flashing at me, I had to snap back into a habit that I had already formed day in and day out, which is turning to God first for my answers, for my salvation, which means, you know, salvation just means wholeness. We're eternally saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, but we are daily saved and made whole day by day by believing that God in Christ lives in our physical body, and that's what makes us completely, completely complete, as it says in the church epistles. In Timothy, it says we're artios. We're completely outfitted to prosper in everything life is going to throw at us. You know, God taught Noah how to build the ark before the flood. Noah learned obedience first. He learned to listen to God first. And guess what? Even Jesus had to learn obedience. So when we learn to hear God's voice and follow His voice, boy, wonderful things happen to all of His children. So that when real trouble comes, because trouble comes in all flavors, but boy, you hear the C word, and that's a pretty big flavor. It's going to come upon all of us because we live in a fallen world. We have already built trust and listening to God in our heart as a habit. That's why the renewed mind is the key to power. We have God Almighty living within us, but if we don't believe it, then we limit Him severely. That is why right thinking about who we are and who God is in us and what He wants for our lives, which is good, 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 is the most important thing we can do all day, every day. Because we are filled to the brim with Him, with God, but our mind is the spigot, the faucet that keeps God's fountain of blessings flowing in our life, and so it can flow out to others as well. You don't have to turn there, but Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? This is one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible, because the battlefield in life is in the mind, and here is the solution. To win every battle, hands down. My job in life is so simple and so beautiful. It's just to agree with God, to agree with who God says I am, to agree with Him above and beyond certain facts, in quotes, that life may throw at us. Anything in this realm, my friends, the physical realm, this is the temporary stuff. You know, I always wondered why the first miracle that God ever had Jesus do was to turn water into wine at the feast of Canaan, the wedding feast in Canaan. And I thought, you know, why didn't He have Him heal the leper? Why didn't He have Him raise Lazarus in the beginning, really make a big splash? Well, number one, God had Him do it because God knows what He's doing. Duh. And you know, the older I get, the more I've realized the first thing right out of the chute that God showed was that when you trust in Him, you have power to change the physical in any situation by the supernatural power that's within you. The first thing Jesus ever did was take plain, ordinary water and turn it into the best wine of all Jerusalem. Ladies and gentlemen, that is some creative ability. That is dominion. That is creative force that was resident within Jesus, and now it's resident within you and I as sons of God right now. And that's why I got my mind straight, that there's nothing in the outer man, no problem, no sickness, no poverty, no anxiety. There's nothing in the outer man, in my flesh, that my inner man, which is God in Christ in me, can't fix. The solutions in our life aren't out there bringing them down from heaven. Honey, the kingdom of God is now in you. The power, the treasures, the healing, the peace, they are in your physical body. It's called the inner man. And that body, soul, and spirit trio, the spirit is the most powerful of all three when we learn to release it. In Luke chapter 13, and this verse has always been such a blessing to me, because the very first time I took an intermediate class and learned how to speak in tongues and interpret, this was the very first interpretation I ever gave when I spoke in tongues and interpreted. It was part two of Luke 13:34. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and you would not. I believe that my interpretation was, know my children that I, your heavenly Father, want to gather you under my wings as a mother hen does her brood. And I thought, wow, what does that mean? And the more I read the word, I realize a lot of times when God is talking about growth and safety, He refers to Himself in the feminine, because spirit is neutral. God is neither a he nor a she. God is spirit. He has no gender. He is everything. He is all things. And many times, I mean, I think of when Paul said, you know, that he, I think it was in Thessalonians, that he was gentle among them, even as a nursing mother cherishes her child. And I've noticed a lot of times when God uses figures of speech of teaching us how to grow, that he refers to Himself in the feminine, because I don't know why, other than the tenderness and the gentleness of a mother with her children and the patience. I'm not trying to be sexist here, but it seems like the mothers have the patience. I mean, God certainly gave us the grit to bear children, which men don't have to go through. But He said His desire was to have us under His wings, His brood, doing what? Making us safe. And that was the first place I went in my mind when I got all this news. I went into God as my safety. And then, of course, the things come, well, you're a believer, how could this happen to a believer, and blah, blah, blah. You know, those kind of questions just make me want to bite nails. I mean iron nails, spikes. They just make me kind of crazy, because you'd think that they never read John 16:33, where Jesus says, John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you, that, he's telling them there's things that are going to happen to them, that, reason he's telling them, in me, under my Father's wings, in me, you might have what? Peace. And here's the big deal. In the world, the cosmos, the physical world, you shall have tribulation. Believer, unbeliever, saint, sinner, whoever you are, Jesus promised, and this is one of those promises you kind of wish wasn't in here, but there it is. We are going to have tribulation in this world. We don't always have bad things happen to us because, oh, we've got a hole in our hedge of protection. We've been doing something wrong. A lot of times, people, we just have bad things happen because there is a devil. There is a serpent that wants to bite us. There's an enemy that wants to take us down. And he is the prince of the cosmos right now. But, and boy, I always love it when God puts his butt in there. Be of good cheer. Why would you be of good cheer knowing that there's going to be tribulation? Because Jesus has overcome the world. So anything that the world can throw at the outer man, your inner man, the God in Christ in you has already fully equipped you to be more than a conqueror, to soar in victory because of the treasure on the inside. I mean, there it is in black and white. Jesus said, we're going to have tribulation in this world. Why? Same guy that caused trouble in the garden, Satan. But we can have peace and even be of good cheer. Doesn't that blow your mind? This is the mindset he wants us to have, because we know through God and through his Son, Jesus Christ, we have already overcome through them, not through our fleshly machinations, not through our great intelligence, not through our great mental acuity, but by getting still and listening to the Spirit and being led by what God is telling us to do. And I can't even begin to tell you in this teaching how many miracles have happened in my life over the past 6 or 7 weeks. I'm sure someday I'll do an extended sharing on this whole thing, but right now I want to focus on John 14:23 says, if a man love me, and boy do I love Jesus, boy do I love God, there is no question how much I love them. And if you love him, you're going to keep his words. And what did his words say? His words said, hey, when trouble comes, you can have not only peace, you can even be of good cheer, because you know you've already won. And look at this. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our home in him. We will come unto him and make our home, take our shoes off, live there, our abode. I think some people still think Christ in you is a figure of speech. It's not. Go to Psalm 46. Christ in you is not a figure of speech. God living in you is not a figure of speech. It is literally true. God is the one essence, the one personality, so to speak, that can individualize himself without breaking himself into pieces. As much God is living in me as now lives in Christ, as much God is living in you as lives in Sally, your other neighbor who's born again, we have the fullness of God, the Spirit that we're going to have in us through eternity right now in our physical body. God lives all up inside you. That's why people say if you want to pray, bow your head so you can see where God lives Because the kingdom of God, Jesus said, is within you. He referred to it a different way. I think it's in John 4 with the woman at the well, referring to the kingdom as a fountain, a gushing river of living water living on the inside of believers who would learn to worship God in the Spirit and in truth. And here's the truth, honey. God lives in you. He will be your wisdom. He is your wisdom. He's not just your healer. He's your health. He's not just your supplier. He's your supply. Look at Psalm 46. Psalm 46. There is a river, that river of living water that Jesus talked about at the well to that beautiful woman. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. Well, who's the city of God? You are. You and I are the tabernacles, another word for tent. Jesus called us the home of God. We're the city of God. We are. We are the body of Christ. That river makes glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. That's you and I, people. Verse 5. Oh, gosh, this just almost brings me to tears. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Doesn't that just bless your little old pea-picking socks off? And isn't it interesting? This is the same psalm that says, "Be still and know that I am God." Where? All up inside me. But we must learn to believe that. We must learn to take those steps of faith off the ledge and trust God with every burden. Trust God to be our deliverer, because we are eagles. We are not chickens. And we don't have time to turn there, but I wish I could read to you Exodus 19, 3 through 6. You guys be turning to Deuteronomy 32, please. But later on, go back and look up Exodus 19, 3 through 6, because one of the things God says there is, tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians. You're turning to Deuteronomy 32. I'm reading for Exodus. And how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto or into myself. God says right there, I instructed you how to be in the midst of me and let me bless you in all ways. And he told them to obey his voice and to do what he told them so that they could be his special treasure. You know, here's a news flash, ladies and gentlemen. All God has ever, ever wanted to do is to bless you and make your life better and deliver you from evil. Isn't that the Lord's prayer? Deliver us from the evil one. So now, my ladies and gentlemen, it is time to fly and to see how God taught Israel, which is distinctly laid out in Deuteronomy chapter 32, starting in verse 9. For the Lord's portion is you. You are his bowl of joy. You are his child. You are his family. You are what makes God smile. And verse 10 says, he found us in a desert land and in the waste, howling wilderness, and he led us about. He instructed us, put your name in there, and he kept us as the apple of his eye. You know what the apple of your eye is, man? That's your pupil. You know how much you protect that? Anything comes at your eye, boom, you're on it right away. Boom's quick. There's God wanting to fight all your battles with you and for you if you learn to fly with Him, if you learn to trust in Him with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. And He said, here is the flying process. Here's the instruction process in verse 11. As an eagle stirs up her nest, flutters over her young, spreads abroad her wings, takes them, bears them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead you. Put your name in there. And there was no strange God with Him. He alone is our sufficiency. He alone is our completeness. He alone is our deliverer. And He made us to ride upon the high places of the earth that we might eat the increase of the fields. And He made us to suck honey out of a rock and oil out of a flinty rock. You know what those are? Supernatural deliverance, like turning water into wine. Butter of the kine and milk of the sheep and fat of the lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan. All these things God gave those who learned to follow His simple instructions. And this analogy God gives here is so incredibly beautiful. I, for one, do not think it's an accident that the eagle is the national symbol, the national bird of the United States of America, because eagles are such phenomenal birds. They are the king of the bird kingdom. They rule the air. Think about this. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. And when we fly like eagles, baby, we rule the air. The God of peace utterly crushes Satan under our feet quickly when we learn to fly. And in this analogy, the mother eagle, the nest is covered when those little eggs hatch and the eaglets come out, the nest is covered with, she finds fur and other leaves and really kind of soft, cuddly things when those little eaglets are first born. And then she spreads her wings and protects them under her wings. And you know what happens when they're under her wings? Boy, they learn to trust. They learn to love that mommy. They learn to snuggle up under there. But one thing happens that's not good. They learn to be complacent. Man, with that fur and that softness and under the mama's wings and she's mouth feeding them, that's like the baby Christian. They don't want to change. But they can't stay there forever because they weren't made and born to stay babies. They were born to fly. And so in the eagle's nest, the mother takes the fur away. Well, in life situations, life will take the fur off the nest. Because once the fur is taken away, all the sticks and the briars and the brambles that the nest is built out of is now uncomfortable. They're poking those little immature eaglets. They're making them uncomfortable. And they're in there, man, they are crying out. They're hurting. They're not comfortable anymore. They're uncomfortable. And the mama knows that, as Jesus said, in this world you're going to have tribulation. She's got to teach them to get off of those briars. Off of those briars and stop moaning and crying. And you know what the mama eagle does? She spreads her wings. It means she hovers over the nest and she shows them her huge size and power. You know what I think of? Looking up at the stars at night, or speaking in tongues, or seeing a brand new baby. I think of the size and the power and the magnificence of my God. And when the eagle spreads her wings, it gives those little eaglets confidence. And you know what she does? She nudges them from the center of the nest over to the edge. And you know what happens? Boy, those little eaglets, they look down. And eagle nests are built way hundreds of feet high above the earth. I mean, in a crag or on a cliff edge. they look down and go, whoa, look at how far that drop is, dude. You know, we have this problem in life and we think, oh, how will I ever overcome this? There's no way out. What's the solution? Well, the mama eagle comes up and she puts her wing like a bridge right on the edge of the nest. And the boldest little eaglet, whichever one comes first, he climbs aboard the mama's wing. She taketh them and beareth them on her wings, it said in Deuteronomy. And she takes that eaglet on her wing. And you know what happens? He clamps onto her wing with those little small talons and he hangs on for dear life. And his mama soars way above the nest, thousands of feet high above the earth. And I can just see that little eaglet's face, man, with that wind blowing it sometimes 40, 50 miles an hour as they fly. And for the first time ever, the eaglet realizes why he was born. He was born to reign. He was born to rule those skies. He wasn't born to cry and moan and lay around on the briars in the nest like a little baby chicken. He was born to get on his mama's wing and get out there in the fray and learn to fly. And so she carries him higher and higher above the earth. And then she does the craziest thing of all. She dumps him off her wing in trust. To trust her. To trust that she has put him where he needs to be in that moment to learn to fly. That then when he drops off her wing, he's freaked. How am I going to do this? What's the answer? And then he says, wait a minute. Mama showed me how to spread my wing. She fluttered over the nest. She showed me how to spread my wings. And then, that eaglet catches the draft of the air. And he begins to soar for the first time in his little eagle life. And he cries in his eagle voice, no, not to be on the wing. This is why I was born. Mama was giving me a taste of freedom to get me to see that I can rule the air just like my parent, just like my mama. Man. See, life can get all warm and fuzzy and complacent under God's wing, and that's a great place to be for a while. But Jesus said the briars are going to come. Tribulation is going to come. And that's when we have to get stirred up. Stirred up, not be complacent. He stirs up her little eagle. She stirs up her eagle. We got to get stirred up inside and say, wait a minute, man, I'm not a chicken. I wasn't born to live on the briars. And we step onto God's wing, his power through faith. And then God gives us that little lift and says, see, my child, you could fly all along because my abilities are in you. Man, when you learn to fly, you become free of earth's limitations. If need be, and the situation arises, you yourself could turn water into wine. You yourself could walk on the Sea of Galilee. You most assuredly can heal the sick, raise the dead, speak with new tongues, cast out devils. God said, this is the training period. This is how life works. That you have to make the decision to get off the briar and onto my wing and learn to fly, my children, so that you can rule the air, which is what you were born to do, to reign seated in the heavenlies at the right hand of your Father, right next to Jesus Christ. This is why you were born, to learn to fly, to learn to trust God in all that you do, to be just like your papa. I love it in Ruth chapter 2, 12, where Ruth says, "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." When we can trust God in the calm times, then we need to learn to trust God in the times that aren't so calm. That's when we grow up. That's that time of transition. That's the time that we build confidence in little things day by day, believing God for the small things in life. Every single day I try to believe God for something. Just to keep my motor running, just to keep the grease in the gears. It's one of the reasons he gave us tithing. It's a ritual thing, a regular thing, not a ritual, a regular way to trust God with your finances. How simple, how easy. It's why I reach out and get involved in other people's lives to minister healing, to counsel, to bring wisdom to their hearts, to see God work in other people. I'm always keeping my pump primed, trying to keep the river of living water flowing in my own life. That is my job. That is me getting off the briars. Making myself every day step on the wing and get off and fly, because this is what we are born to do, to truly fulfill our God-given destiny, which is to walk in blessings, to walk in harmony, to walk in joy, to be a person that is a giver, that helps other people on a daily basis. And sometimes that transition, there's no question, it can be scary. You know, I think when that little eaglet looked out of the nest and saw that it was 100 feet up and saw the drop, it was probably a little freaked out. Then when the mama put it on the wing and took it even higher, it could have gotten freaked out, but it was focused on the parent. And so flying on mama's wing was a joy. And he felt the exhilaration of flying. And when the mama knew he was ready to spread his wings, boom, she gave him the opportunity to fly on his own. Things come at us in life and sometimes they're scary. But if we go to God, then they can become exciting. And then as we see his deliverance come to pass, it is absolutely exhilarating, because we're learning to let go and let God, which simply means to trust in him completely. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. People, the inner man, the Christ in you, is the eagle that lives on the inside of you. That's what you're constantly trying to bring out to the surface. That's what we're constantly trying to bring to the fore, because this is what we were born to do. We were born to fly. We were born to rule in life, reign in life by one Jesus Christ. The devil has convinced most people to be chickens. I remember, who was it? Foghorn Leghorn. "Son, you're not a chicken, you're a chicken hawk. Stole that chest back, raise that head. You're not a chicken, you're a chicken hawk. Foghorn Leghorn." Well, that was a cartoon. But people, we got to get out of our chicken suits and spread our wings as eagles and realize there is nothing life can throw at us that God has not already supplied from the treasure room that is within you. Nothing. Jesus said, "All things, all power in heaven and earth that the Father has are mine." And Jesus gave the power to us, and then God moved in to make his home in you. He's saying to you today, "Honey, you've enjoyed living under the shelter of my wing and you can come here at any time, but now spread your wings and fly. Agree with me. Walk the way I've told you to. Look, people, look at the stars, the trees, the beauty of the universe. Get this through your beautiful, beloved head. God created all of this for you. For you to enjoy. And man, as we build this confidence, this presence of God, this God confidence daily, the more we fly, man, the better we get. And then when the storms come, like Jesus said, we have His peace. No sweat. We can be of good cheer. You know why? Because the eagle is the serpent's natural enemy, and they're one of the few beasts of prey that can just destroy serpents. That's their thing, baby. They tread on the serpents, not the other way around. And you know what eagles do? You know what else they do? They love storms. Every other bird in the bird kingdom seeks shelter in a storm. But the eagle catches the draft and uses the storm to rest their wings. The storm comes and they don't even sweat it. They just poof. They put those wings out and they ride the wind with all confidence. Do you think it's just a fluke that the word spirit is also translated wind? We just ride the Spirit of God on the inside. We just go poof. God is my supply. God has already seen me through this. God already has the answer. I don't even have to be concerned except to do what He leads me to do. And that is how we have the peace in the midst of tribulation that Jesus talked about in John 16. Boy, doesn't this word just electrify your soul? Doesn't this just electrify your spirit? To know that you know that you know that you just join with God, and that when you focus on Him and don't even try to figure out how to fix your problem, be still and let the Spirit work with you and speak with you and guide you, and your answer will come, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, but it's there. I think the first verse I ever memorized was Isaiah 40:31, which is, "But they that wait upon the Lord." And that wait upon is the Hebrew word meaning to join with, to agree with, to cleave to Him. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint," because we're learning to live spirit to spirit. We're learning to live as the child of God, not just a child of God. You are the child of God. And all the spirit that was in Jesus is now in you. The same amount, the same kind, the same power is resident in your physical body. Because Jesus taught us that they came and moved in and took up residency in our body. And that's why we can be anxious for nothing. We don't have to be anxious for nothing. Yes, when some things come along, the Bible says don't be afraid of sudden fear. You hear a diagnosis like cancer or something else or some other tragedy, and your first thought is, I'm a dead duck. No, you're not. You're an eagle. And you begin to agree with God and you begin to see the deliverance come as you press into Him and mount up with wings as eagles and you run with Him and you're not weary and you walk and not faint, because the answer is there. Because when we're not anxious and we know that God has our back, that's when the peace of God that passes understanding can keep guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, because we trust our Papa. We know that we're born to rule the air. We know that God gave us dominion right in the midst of Satan's kingdom. He's supposed to be the power of the prince of the air, but now we have dominion of the air, and we take that old buzzard down any time we want, by knowing our identity, by knowing that God lives within us, by knowing that the Spirit of the living God is alive and well in you today, and you have the same power that Jesus has now. You know, God has done some pretty neat, miraculous things in my life. And back when I was, I think, 19 years old, 4 or 5 years before I was, you know, introduced to the power of the Word, I'd been born again as a child. But I wasn't really introduced to the power of the Word until I was 23. I had painted a self-portrait of me rising from the earth. It was beautiful. With a Holy Spirit, a dove above my head, shining down on me in rays of like sunshine onto my head as I'm coming out of the earth. And I wrote around the border of this self-portrait. Listen to this. The soul can rise from the earth like a bird into the sky, not feeling the barriers of man, but the beauty of love, God, which is eternal. Man, as a born-again child of God who was out in hog country, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the living God in me, was making my soul yearn for that very freedom of God and Christ in me. There I was with a spirit dove shining over me, and something in me said, even then, this is my destiny. Even then, I wanted to learn to fly with God, to be free of earth's limitations. And so I am. And so are you. And so is any born-again believer who wants to look at this little instruction in Deuteronomy 23 and get on his wing and jump off in faith and learn that you can fly just like your mama, just like your daddy. This is why you were born, to be an imitator of God, to have dominion, to know that you are God inside-minded. That on this planet, you are the royalty. That on this planet and in the air, you have dominion over all things in heaven and earth. That there's not one problem. You're looking down from above from the eagle's nest, and you're already more than a conqueror through Him who loves you. Man, Satan wants to get you to moan and to groan and to feel sorry and be a whiner when God has called you to be a winner. You were born to be an overcomer. You were born to soar on the current of the Spirit of the living God, through the power of God in Christ in you. You hear the saying, you can't have a testimony without a test. The one thing we have to be perfectly clear on is it's the devil that supplies the test. We don't have to go looking. They'll come looking for us. But it's our God that supplies our testimony, who has caused us to reign in life and to spread our wings and fly. And that's why I take this Bible very personally. I take Deuteronomy 32:10 very personally. I put my name in there. He, God, found Peg in a desert land, and in the waste howling wilderness, He led me about. He instructed me, and He keeps me as the apple of His eye. Oh, I am so thankful to be a child of the living God. I am so thankful there's an eagle inside. I am so thankful I'm the apple of God's eye. And when trouble comes, all I have to do is turn to my daddy and say, peace be still, because I'm with Him. I'm with God, who is the source of all that I will ever need or I'm going to need, because God lives in me, and I believe that. I trust God with my whole heart. Even though I can't see the answer, even though I don't know all the answers, I spread my wings on the confidence that God is there. He's the current to pick me up and teach me that it's time to fly. Father, show us the depth of these words. Help us get off of the briars and onto your wings by seeing the depth of your love and trusting completely in you. Father, I don't care how good we think our life is, help us transform to a higher level. Direct our hearts into our true identity and the power that we wield in the here and now, knowing that you live inside of us and that you are the God of gods and the King eternal, and you have put all things under our feet and given us back all dominion that Adam lost and more. You've given us the dominion that Jesus has over the spirit realm now. Thank you, Father, for being our tender mercies. Thank you for being our tender Abba Father. Thank you so much for making your home in us. Strengthen us, Father. Give us wisdom and teach us how to fly like the eagles. In Jesus' name, amen.